Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And to the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial, service, family members. This is Daniel White, the third president of the Gospel Light Society International Ministries, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode, if you will, number 289, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day with my family and now many others in chronological order using the Chronological Bible. This unique viewpoint, this unique arrangement allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading 1 Samuel chapter 5, and I hope that you have not missed the last few days. Of reading the Word of God. 1 Samuel verse 1. Let's pray first. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, Lord, we pray together, and Lord, I pray, and Lord, help everyone to individually pray and help us to pray collectively together. By your energy, by your strength, by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have indeed bestowed upon us down through the years, millions literally and many and manifold, too big of a number for us to even recall by recall each and every one. And so Lord, but you know all about how you have blessed us. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. And I hope that's the case, and that other people recognize in their own families and in their individual lives how much you have blessed them, so that they can turn around and be thankful and grateful for one of the things you hate is for people to be ungrateful, to be unthankful. And that's part of the many sins and reasons why we're in this, under this chastisement and under this rebuke by you in the church. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have continued mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. Those of us who are already saved, please, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures, as we, Lord, by your grace, forgive others. Wash and cleanse our souls, our hearts, minds, and spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow on the inside. And Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Put a guard in our hearts, our minds, our tongues, our attitudes, Lord, that we would not sin against you in word, thought, or deed throughout this day. Deliver us, Lord, from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us, Lord, your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Holy Father God, as usual, the devil is up to his dirty tricks, trying to hinder your gospel, trying to do anything he can and use anybody he can to try to hinder your gospel from going forward, and as we preached on Wednesday night, from being glorified. And Lord, so we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. And I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. Lord, cast out the demonic sins of pride, stubbornness, and rebelliousness. Treachery, hindrance, distraction, betrayal, and sabotage. These demon spirits and sins, cast these out of the people who have that problem here and beyond here. And Lord, I pray that you would give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the demons of hell. And help us all to do our part, for you have given us a part to do. To be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and prayerful. And Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would indeed help us all who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, Lord Jesus Christ, our first love. Help us to repent of our sins and the sins that so easily beset us and the weights that hold us down from soaring for you. For sin is and has always been the problem. And Lord, you died for our sins to deliver us from the power of sin and the punishment and pain of sin. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving, and the mourning in this world. There's so much pain in this world, and sadly, there's so much pain because of our sins in the church and our sins outside of the church. Sin causes perpetual pain, disillusionment, and depression. And so, Lord, we pray for all people in our personal, we pray for all of these things in our personal lives, in the church, in our families, in the community, in the country, and around the globe. I thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And Lord, I do pray that you'll help us to be, those of us who are saved, to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be obedient, to resist the devil by resisting the sins he wants us to commit, to resist the devil that he flee from us by saying no to the evil that he suggests into our minds and hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would place upon us all the whole arm of God, cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, surround us with the band of your holy angels. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us to take heed to what you said in the Garden of Gethsemane to the disciples there and to us. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Holy Father God, we pray this morning that you would deliver each and every one of us, Lord, from our distresses and afflictions, cares and worries and anxieties and troubles, Lord, of mind and heart. And fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding and your joy unspeakable today, throughout this day, even throughout the night. And Lord, we pray that things that we have no control over, we pray that you would take care of it for us. And Holy Father God, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you'll grant us your grace also in the power of your Holy Spirit to not only pray now, but to pray without ceasing throughout this day. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would deliver each and every one of us, Lord, from temptation, from tribulations rather, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions this morning and throughout this day. Help us to intentionally and on purpose put our minds on you. Keep our minds on you because of your promise to keep us in perfect peace. And Lord, I believe a part of that perfect peace is talked about much in the New Testament as well, when you say in the Old Testament, keep our mind stayed on you. In the New Testament, I believe that has something to do with why you emphasized so much pray without ceasing. You, Lord Jesus Christ, gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray always in Ephesians. Be instant in prayer. And so, Lord, by praying without ceasing, we are in fact keeping our hearts and minds stayed on you, trusting in you, looking to you. Because contrary to what we think, we can't do life without you. And you never intended us to do life without you. But we have sinned against you, and the fellowship has been broken because of sin. And you have taken care of that by sending your Holy Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as it is told to us from your Holy Word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Holy Father God, grant me and all of us your energy, your strength, your unction, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your Holy Word. And to understand it, and to comprehend it, and to remember it, and to meditate on it, and to live by it, and to apply it to our lives. Help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you all day long. Trouble us if we slip. Convict us if we slip. And help everybody to whisper a prayer to you throughout the day. For those who don't know what praying without ceasing means, Lord, help them to do it every hour. Some help them to do it every half hour. To whisper a prayer. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, every day of our lives until we die, until we go home to be with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing the Word of God at 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both of the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coasts thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." They sent therefore and gathered all of the lords of the Philistines unto them, and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines, and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all of the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you and I thank you for your holy word. Thank you for what you showed me. I trust that you showed other people the things that they needed to see today. But for one thing, for sure, help people to understand not to play with God, not to toy with you, not to take you for granted or not take you seriously. It is a dangerous thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And help us to understand that in a very real sense. For we're under your chastisement and your rebuke right now, even though people don't want to say it. Even though people don't want to admit it. But they're acting like they're under your rebuke and chastisement because for some reason they are ashamed to die this way. God, have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins of not honoring your name, of not taking you seriously, taking you for granted, not being thankful for the blessings you have bestowed upon us and the things that you have kept us from. Save those who are lost as they hear the gospel. Revive those who are saved. Lord, even right now, by the power of your Holy Ghost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, when I was a teenager, many years ago. For some strange reason, I think it's a hunger in everybody since the Garden of Eden. I wanted to get some wisdom. I wanted to get some knowledge, and no doubt it was all rooted in pride. So I set out to read the big family Bible that many families had in those days. It's not, I'm not talking about the size Bible I have, but the big, huge, stately looking Bible, gold embossed all over, normally with a picture of Jesus on the front, that famous picture of Jesus kneeling down on a rock and looking up to heaven. Back in those days, black folks didn't care whether he was white and blue eyes, with blue eyes. Back in those days, all they were concerned about is Jesus. And along with that big old Bible, in the black home in the South, you had a picture of Jesus. You had a picture of JFK, and you had a picture of Martin Luther King Jr. It's hanging somewhere. Normally in the dining room or the den or living room, if you were blessed to have a den back in those days. You know, and for us back in those days, a room called the den was big time. And that Bible was prominent somewhere in the house. Normally it was open, sometimes closed. Huge. I'm talking about this thick. This wide, huge, very impressive. We don't see those anymore because the people of God, the people of the church, have forsaken God and forsaken Jesus for the most part. Sad to say. But anyway, I could not get past Genesis chapter 2. I got past Genesis chapter 1, but I got bogged down in Genesis chapter 2. I got bored to tears with reading the these and the thous in the Bible. I found out later in life that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And get saved before you could understand the Bible. So here's how I got saved. Here's how I became a Christian, a true Christian. I was raised in church with my dad being a preacher and a gospel singer, my mother being a preacher on a Pentecostal holiness side. So my great-grandfather founding a denomination, not just a church, but a small denomination, the Church of the Firstborn or something like that, a Pentecostal holiness charismatic church. Dad was ordained as a Baptist preacher, was a member of a Baptist church, and we were in church. I'm telling you now, they left the South, but the South didn't leave them. They found a church up in New York, and I can remember as a little boy seeing the stained glass windows. They raised us in church. It was automatic. And my mother was the enforcer, and not my dad. My mother was the enforcer. She made sure you went to church, because that's how they were raised. That's how my mother was raised. My mother didn't know anything about not going to church. And so I was religious, and if you had met us, you would have said, okay, that's a Christian family. Not based upon how we behaved, but based upon the fact we were in church every Sunday and more than that. So my dad was a gospel singer. I mean, it was a whole day situation on Sundays. And we went to church early in the morning for Sunday school, and then you had church service that lasted for 3 or 4 hours, and then sometimes around 3 o'clock there was another meeting, an anniversary or something, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had food on the grounds. Then you had BTU at 6, and then you had a singing. That's what they used to call it back in those days. And my dad was normally on the roster, or one of the people singing, and we had to go to that all day long. I remember days where we left out early in the morning and didn't come back until night. You say, did you love it? No, I hated it. But I truly became a Christian thanks to the prayers of my parents and grandparents. I have to say that. Later in life, when I was a grown man and in the United States Air Force at the age of 19, I became a Christian. And you can become a Christian as well, for real. Not church membership. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to give a dime of money to the preacher or to the church. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. These things may be good to do, but they will not save your soul. No, nothing like that will save you. So understand, first of all, that you need to accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have disobeyed God. Would you agree with that? Would you admit that? Would you acknowledge that? That you have broken the Ten Commandments of God, and the Bible teaches that if you break just one of God's commandments, you break the whole thing. You say, well, not me. I'm a pretty good fellow. Oh, really? Have you ever told a lie? Yes, you have. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Have you ever stolen anything? Even from your parents, which you thought was not stealing, but it is. If you did not ask them for it, you stole it. Well, I was going to pay it back later. Have you ever lusted after somebody, coveted after somebody or something? Have you ever dishonored or disobeyed your parents? You got a bad attitude towards your parents. When I was a lost teenager, I had a bad attitude towards my dad, especially, but towards my mother too, but especially my dad. My dad was the most loving man in the world. He never did anything to hurt me, but I hated his guts. I hated him. I despised him. You say, why? No reason. It's the devil. He never did me any wrong. He didn't even chastise me, and he should have. That was wrong for him to do before God. I'm glad he didn't, because he was every bit of 340 pounds. Have you ever dishonored and disobeyed your parents like I did? Have you ever dishonored God by taking his name in vain? Cursing with his name? Now that's just 5 commandments right there that you have broken. If you are of age, I can guarantee you, you have committed those sins. We all have sinned against God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the payment for your sins is death. We're all going to die. The wages of sin is death. We're going to die because of our sinful nature. We're going to die because of our sinful choices. Dr. Tony Evans says that the mark of your being a Christian is the decisions that you make. And that's so true. We all have sinned against God, and we're all going to die because of our sins. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You're going to give an account for everything you have said and done in this life. Please don't forget that. Please don't let that pass. You must understand that. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We die because of our sinful nature. We die because of our sinful choices. But after this, the judgment. King Solomon said, the wisest man who ever lived, said, you can do what you want in this life, but just understand you will be brought into judgment by God. Not just everybody else, but you. You with your hatefulness, you with your dishonoring God and dishonoring your parents, you with your lies and living a lie and perpetuating lies. You lie so much you believe it yourself. And you get mad at people when they don't believe your lies. All liars, the Bible says, shall be cast into the lake of fire. So please understand this, and this, as I said yesterday, is my job. My job is to help you understand that this, all of this is real. All of this is happening and going to happen. The fact that one day you're going to be walking on the earth and you're going to drop dead is a reality. It has not happened yet. Only by the grace of God, but it will happen. You with your proud self, your stubborn self, your arrogant self, shaking your little wicked puny hand in God's face, refusing to obey God, submit to God, refusing to respect God. You still believe the philosophy of Frank Sinatra. I did it my way, I'm going to do it my way. And you're going to go to hell your way too. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now as we speak, as I speak, and as you listen. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, as he preached more on hell than any preacher, any prophet, any evangelist, any apostle in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven, for he said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. That's how bad hell is. Hell is so bad. It's better for, Jesus Christ said, it's better for you to cut your hand off to keep from sinning, to cut your foot off to keep from sinning, and believe in him to be saved and start living a godly and holy and righteous life instead of going to hell. It's better for you to go to heaven with one hand and one foot maimed than to go to hell for eternity. And he was right then, and he's right now. The point is, sin leads to death. After the death, judgment. After death, hell. Immediately, if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. The Bible also states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those are just some of the people who commit those sins who will go to hell. It includes adulterers and adulteresses, fornicators, people who have sex outside of marriage of any kind, homosexuals, child molesters, incest committers, people who commit incest, who are so wicked. They lust after their own family members and have sex with their own family members. God sees you. And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Everybody who dies without Jesus Christ. Everybody who has not confessed their sins and repented and trusted Christ as Savior will have their part in the lake of fire. And my job is to help you to understand how real that is. That's going to happen. My job is to remind you of it. And so you can jam, boogie, boogie, and let the good times roll, as you say. But as King Solomon said, you will give an account to God one day in the judgment. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life, that is, have everlasting life in heaven with God. And if you want to be saved from hell and go to heaven when you die and get your sins forgiven and not have that constant power of sin over your life and in your life, then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. God never made anybody get saved. Jesus Christ never made anybody get saved. It's your choice. He has helped people. He will help people, but it's your choice. He's not going to make you get saved. And if they never tried to make you get saved, certainly I am not going to try to make you get saved. If you don't have a tugging going on in your heart right now, if you're not under heavy conviction about your sins and you want to get saved, then if you're not sincere, don't pray this prayer. If you are sincere, pray this sinner's prayer with me and mean it from your heart. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. That's what you're getting saved to. And you're getting saved from the power of sin in your life. Sin will not rule and reign over you anymore. You will fall under conviction, painful conviction, when you even think about sinning. And you will avoid it by the grace of God, or if you fail, you will ask God to forgive you and cleanse you, and He'll do it. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, and you shall be saved. Please pray with me the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. Understanding, as the preacher pointed out from your holy word, that if I break one, I break it all. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I receive you into my heart and into my spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. September the 12th, 2021. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, that he is your substitute. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world through his shed blood, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door, free of charge. You don't have to pay a dime at any point. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. Also, if you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Now, beloved, when I was a teenager, I wanted to get wisdom and knowledge. So I set out to read the Big Family Bible that was kept in the living room and that many families had in those days. We don't see them much today, but these are huge Bibles. But I couldn't get past Genesis chapter 2 before I got bored with reading the Bible. I just could not understand it. I found out later in life that you have to believe on Christ and get saved before you can understand the Holy Word of God, the Bible. So here is how I became a Christian, and here is how you can too. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, the God who created the heaven and the earth. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to hell because of our sin if we don't trust in Christ Jesus as our Savior. And that leads me to my third point. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, in the Holy Word of God, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Also, the Holy Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hell in the lake of fire, dear friends, is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul and to change your life, so that you can understand the Bible better and learn it and do it and be blessed by it. And Jesus will save you today. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, believing in your heart that he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. I am sorry for my sins, and today I choose to turn from my sins. With your help, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose on the third day. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and by your grace, I will follow him as Lord from this day forward. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.